This is the Sex and Psychology Podcast, the sex ed you never got in school and won't get anywhere else. I am your host, Dr. Justin Lay Miller. I am a social psychologist and research fellow at the Kinsey Institute and author of the book, Tell Me What You Want, The Science of Sexual Desire and How It Can Help You Improve Your Sex Life. Reality dating shows have been a staple of modern television programming for more than two decades. Certainly, the format and storyline of each program to emerge has varied quite a bit, but most of them have been pretty similar in the sense that the focal point has invariably been on two people finding love and building a couple relationship. Until now. This year, we saw the launch of a new series titled Couple to Thruple, which follows a group of curious couples who are interested in expanding their relationship by bringing a third partner into the mix. While this show follows what's become a pretty familiar pattern in reality dating TV, where contestants are shuttled off to a tropical resort to mingle with attractive strangers, and relationships are then put to the test through a series of challenges, it's different from anything that's come before in terms of its focus on polyamory and its undeniably queer and diverse cast. This show has sparked a lot of reaction on social media, both positive and negative. So let's talk about it. In today's show, I'm going to be speaking with Couple to Thruple's relationship guru, whose job was to help contestants navigate the situation. We're going to explore common issues that came up for people on the show, how she helped people to work through them, what audience reactions have been like, and how this show is shaping popular discourse about polyamory. My guest is Shamira Howard, a licensed clinical social worker and ASEX certified sex therapist. She founded On the Green Couch, where she helps people to manage sexual issues, create their best relationships, and have amazing sex. Her work has been featured all over in the media, and she is the resident sex and relationship expert on Peacock's dating reality series, Couple to Thruple. This is going to be a fun and fascinating conversation. Stick around, and we're going to jump in right after the break. A growing number of adults identify as bisexual. In fact, the number has tripled over the last couple of decades. However, traditional dating apps often have a way of making bi people feel overlooked or frustrated because other people just don't get it. So how do you find a place where you can be yourself and where others won't judge your sexuality? Check out Fleur, a sex-positive dating app where you can be anyone, want anything, and try new things. Fleur has gathered a community of people ready to openly discuss their sexuality and bring their fantasies and desires to life. There is no judgment here. The app also has a safe mode to prevent unwanted explicit content or offensive messages. However, that's just a backup option because the app draws users who respect personal boundaries and adhere to the principles of consent. Fleur provides a comfortable and safe space to explore your sexuality and find pleasure, whether you're currently looking for something casual, long-term, or you're just open to possibilities. Check the show notes for the link or head over to Fleur.com. That's FLURE.com. The Fleur dating app is a place where you can be your authentic sexual self and explore your desires. In Fleur, pleasure awaits. Mail My Meds is an online service that allows Americans to access prescription and affordable medication delivery services. They allow men experiencing ED to be reviewed for erectile dysfunction medication prescriptions. You can complete your online prescription questionnaire in as little as 3 minutes and get started today. You'll get reviewed by one of their partnering U.S. board-certified physicians and find out if your prescription has been approved in as little as 1 hour. If approved, prescriptions are good for 1 year of refills, and you can get generic Viagra and Cialis starting at $2 per pill. All medications are dispensed from USA pharmacies, and you'll receive your order in 3 to 5 business days, shipped straight to you in discreet packaging. Mail My Meds offers low pricing and unmatched convenience, and the whole process can be done from the comfort of your own home. To learn more or get started today, visit mailmymeds.com. That's M-A-I-L, my, M-E-D-S.com. Hi, Shamira, and welcome back to the Sex and Psychology Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for joining me. So it's great to have you back on the show. You were actually one of my very first guests all the way back in episode number 8. And now we're closing in on nearly 300 shows.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, you were overdue for a return.
Yes, I would say.
So in this episode, we're going to be talking all about the new reality dating series, Couple to Thruple. So as a starting point, please give us the brief synopsis of the show for people who aren't familiar with it. So what's the general premise of it? What makes it different from other reality dating shows?
Well, Couple to Thruple is Peacock's original and newest dating reality show. So the show's premise is based around couples who are new to non-monogamy or have little to no experience in non-monogamy. And these couples are wanting to explore and experiment with adding a third partner to their relationship. So the show has singles. They have singles where the couples, they get to go through a series of relationship challenges to see if they match with these singles to create their thruple.
So it definitely sounds different from any other reality dating show I've seen.
It's very different from any other reality show that has been done because this one is inherently queer. So every person on this show has some type of queer identity. It's one of the most diverse reality dating shows, and it's one of the only ones that's focused on couples specifically, and also one that hints at the idea of polyamory.
Right. So it's different from other shows in a lot of ways. One being it's not just focused on let's start a lifelong monogamous relationship or marriage, and also not just based on heterosexuality and men and women getting together in these monogamous relationships. So different in a lot of ways.
Correct.
So what is your role on this show? How did you get involved with it? And what does your job look like as the show's resident sex and relationship expert?
So like I said, the show is based on couples who have little to no experience in non-monogamy and polyamory. Now, the singles on the show, many of them have experience and are polyamorous and have experience in non-monogamy and polyamory. My role on the show was to help bridge the emotional and educational gap between monogamy and non-monogamy. So what I was there to do was help couples to clarify their goals, define their sexual and other boundaries within their couple and thruple relationships, but also help them to see the differences between chemistry and true connection to figure out if this experiment was even something that would work for them. So people want to know what's the goal of the show. Is the goal of this show for the couples to leave as a thruple, right? There really wasn't a specific goal in the show, which is another reason why it's different, because it was an experiment in non-monogamy. So basically what the show showed is whether or not these couples, based on the skills that they got out of our relationship session challenges, were able to, one, see like, yes, we're strong enough, we are ready to move forward and leave this resort as a thruple with our new partner. Or if they would be able to say, you know what, based on these challenges and what we've identified within ourselves and each other, we're going to leave how we came as a couple. Or another thing that people weren't expecting to happen, which happens often when people are clarifying their values and goals, couples will say, well, you know what, I'm not leaving as a thruple or as a couple. I'm leaving as a single.
So people might go off in a lot of different directions on this show because you never know what's going to happen when you start.
You never know.
Yes. So you're basically the relationship guru and you're kind of helping people along in their journey and exploring the world of non-monogamy. And everyone on the show is described as being an open-minded person. But as you said, not everybody was necessarily experienced with polyamory dynamics in general, let alone specifically what it might be like to be part of a thruple. So tell us a little bit about some of the specific guidance that you offered folks on the show toward the beginning. So what did you tell people kind of toward the beginning of their non-monogamy journey as they're exploring this? What did you think they needed to know at the outset?
One of the questions I asked immediately when I met everyone was, has anyone had any experience in non-monogamy or polyamory? Most of them did not. And so the number one thing I wanted to know from them was, one, why do you want to do this? And that's the number one question that anybody who's considering this would want to ask themselves. But that was one of my questions for them was, why do you want to do this? That is a very important question for couples to ask themselves, because you want to make sure that you are going into this. And I wanted to make sure that the couples were going into this because this is something that they wanted to do, not something that they were coerced to do or something that seemed so trendy and cool, but something that they wanted to do. Because I knew, because as someone who works with these communities of polyamorous and non-monogamous people, I know that this is not a walk in the park. It's not easy. It's not just having a threesome. So I'm like, if you just want a threesome, we can get you a threesome, right? That's easy. If you actually want to do this, then you're going to go through a lot of the characteristics that relationships go through, all the way from communication to boundaries to honesty. And so what they saw was that this was a lot of work.
Yeah. And I have to imagine, when you say the first question you have to ask yourself is, why do you want to do this? Well, the people who would go on a reality show to explore this would have to really want to do it, right? Because the eyes of the world are on you and will be, you know, witnessing like what happens in your relationship and your relationship journey. So I think the people there would kind of have to be really committed to that from the outset.
Yes. But also, I'll tell you this, and I've not said this on a lot of interviews, but none of us really had time to prepare for the show. And I think that that's on purpose. That's how these shows are run. Like, you go through the interview process as the couples. You, do you want to do this? Is this something that you're interested in? You say yes. And then in 3 days, you're in another country filming a show, you know, with cameras all over you. So what I can only imagine for these couples, and what I've heard them say, was that once the camera started rolling for them, like, and they were like, okay, I'm really doing this. I know that I said I wanted to, but I'm really doing this. And then they started to go through the relationship challenges and sessions. It got really real for them really quickly. A lot of them even mentioned they weren't expecting the emotional process that they went through to happen.
Yeah. And, you know, you make an interesting point there about getting on the show. Like, the idea of it might sound really great, really appealing to people, and they might be really committed to exploring it, but you can't be prepared for how quickly this kind of thing is going to progress. And that's one of the things that makes it a little bit different from, let's say, exploring non-monogamy in everyday life, where you don't necessarily have those prompts and you don't have a pool of people that you can meet and start going on dates with right away. So, you know, the process is accelerated for them. And so, yeah, it makes sense that it's going to get very real very, very quickly.
Very quickly.
So, speaking of that, you know, as people started to get further into their exploration of what it might be like to be part of a throuple, what were some of the biggest issues that came up, and how did you help people try and work through them?
Well, I'll tell you this. I'll tell you one of the most unexpected issues that came up for a lot of people. You know, we talk about intimacy, and I like to define intimacy as being seen, being heard, being valued, and being understood. And in turn, seeing, hearing, valuing, and understanding a partner. And so any space that I'm in, I'm going to attempt to help people cultivate true intimacy in their relationship. One of the facets of intimacy that people were not expecting was the intimacy of grief that existed there, because a lot of these couples experienced some type of loss of intimacy or another type of loss within themselves. Because again, this isn't a scripted series. This is real. Like, everything is happening in real time. So a lot of them realized that who they were as a couple had to change really quickly if they wanted to unite with someone as a throuple, if they wanted to mesh their relationships and create a new relationship with someone else, they had to lose parts of their couple relationship. So there was some intimacy in the grief and watching them explore how they lost parts of their identified and familiar relationship and what they gained, the intimacy they gained from the idea of a third partner. For example, there is a couple on the show, Corey and Wilder, who they went through the process. They connected with a third partner, one of the singles on the show, and they immediately started to experience intimacy with them. And so they immersed themselves into this. They also experienced the intimacy of grief, where Corey mentioned in the show where she had to hold on to jealousy. We had an exercise with jealousy where they had to identify jealousy, because a lot of people know that jealousy is something that definitely comes up in any relationship. And it's not a problem. It's 100% a normal emotion, like happiness or sadness. It's jealousy. The goal here is figuring out what the jealousy is teaching us and what we can get from it, and also how to channel it. Because the issue with jealousy is not the emotion itself, but it's basically how we use or utilize jealousy and what it does for us. So Corey had to hold on to some things due to previous relationship experiences with Wilder, and that kind of almost halted their process. And she had to work through that. And there's some things on the show that people unfortunately don't get to see because it's so limited, but she had to work through that. And in that, there was this beautiful loss and grief. And we don't tend to think of beautiful when we're describing loss and grief, but there's an intimacy there. There is a connection. There's an emotional connection that happens when a partner sees you and knows that you are struggling in an area and that you are making an effort to leave something behind so that you can move forward. And that was a beautiful experience. And it was a very unexpected experience to watch.
Yeah, what you're saying there about the grief and the loss of identity, it makes total sense, because so many of us come to identify very closely with our partners and with our relationship. And if you're talking about transitioning from monogamy to non-monogamy, well, that's a complete relationship transformation. And so things can't stay exactly the same as they were before in all ways. And so they have to find ways to let go of certain aspects of themselves or their identities or their previous relationship in order to move forward. And you're totally right that in the process of, you know, a reality TV series, what we see is a condensed version of what actually happened. And so, yeah, the transformation process, it probably will take a bit longer than, you know, getting through a 1 hour episode for sure.
Definitely, I'd say it was a beautiful experience to watch and to be a part of.
So you mentioned that you went through some exercises related to jealousy. So tell us a little bit about some of the other exercises or activities or challenges that contestants on the show went through. I mean, the activities are often the most fun part of these series. So what stands out to you as some of the most interesting ones?
Yeah, the relationship sessions and challenges were very fun. They were all done on the beach in Panama, so it was great. And one of the ones that I really liked was the communication session. So the communication session is where the throuple, so the single, the chosen single, was a part of this. And so the throuples went into the jungle and they had to put up a tent. Right. And so they thought that they were about to have fun. But of course, with the host, Scott Evans, and I, there's always a twist. It was a communication exercise in putting up a tent. So as you know, Justin, sometimes therapists will prescribe or give activities for clients to do. And there's this joke that if you put up furniture with your partner, you truly see how close y'all are, mm-hmm. and a lot of your relationship patterns. So they put up a tent, and what we did and what I did was basically watch how they communicate to put up this tent, because they had to communicate with each other in order to put up this tent. And so there were a lot of dynamics happening, because we had one of the couples, Ashmal and Rahman, they were the only group there that was not represented as a throuple, because at this time they were having issues choosing a single. They were having some internal relationship issues, as people will see if they watch the show, that they struggled a bit in the show. However, this exercise actually brought them closer together, because they had to talk to each other in order to get this done. And they weren't in a space before that where they were very communicative with each other at the time. So this exercise actually brought them closer together. And then there was the funniest part, and because a lot of this stuff was fun too. The funniest part was there is an African-American couple, a Black couple, Brittany and Sean on the show. Their chosen single, Darian, was there. And what we saw was Brittany and Sean were like, you know what? We're hotel people. We are not tent people. We do not know how to put up no tent, none of this. And so what I recognized was Darian had taken the lead, the chosen single. And she asked them, I was like enamored with this, but she said, do y'all mind taking some direction? And when she asked them that, I was like, yes, Darian. So, you know, she kind of gave them direction to help speed up the process. Now, they didn't get their tent up. Okay. But it was absolutely beautiful to watch that exchange of information. And so they left there recognizing how important it was to be speaker, listener, to take direction from each other, and to be able to accept your partner's influence. Because in polyamorous relationships, what we want to focus on is equity in the relationship. Like, you know, we want to focus on each person having identity and having agency in the relationship. And that's one of the things that this specific exercise helped them to identify with each other. What you didn't get to see on the show is after we were done, I went through each throuple and couple and asked them, how was this helpful to them and what did they get out of this? And that was some of the things that they actually said.
You mentioned a lot of important things there, but I want to go back to the point about how putting furniture together with your partner is really the best test of your relationship or the ultimate test. I mean, we could do a whole experiment with this. Yes. Just go to IKEA and then follow some people home.
I love how your brain works.
That has been a test of my relationship at various points in time, but fortunately we survived.
Let me tell you something about my relationship. I'm the one who puts the stuff together in here, okay? I just wanted that to be known. I put the stuff together. All my bookshelves, my desks. But when I had my first kid 13 years ago, I put all of the stuff together. My partner, my husband, he will hire somebody to do it. And I just don't have time for that.
Everybody's different and you got to figure out a way to manage that test.
You got to figure out what works for you.
Now, I have to imagine that going into a show like this, you can't necessarily know what to expect. I think that's true for any reality dating series. Like, what is this going to be? How is it going to evolve? What's going to happen? So how did the series match up with your expectations? And I know you mentioned, you know, in terms of like the grief or that loss of identity being one of the things that surprised you in the course of the show. Did anything else surprise you or stand out to you?
I'll tell you this. That's a great question. And I'll tell you this. While I have this sexology media business where I do a lot of media work on camera, off camera, digital, print, I've been approached to do polyamorous shows in the past and I've said no to all of them and initially was like no to this show as well. And it's because I've got training in and work with non-monogamous and polyamorous communities. And for me as a professional, I'm not really worried about being on TV as much as I'm worrying about the representation and what I'm doing on TV, because that is the reason why I do this work, because I want people to see that representation. I want people to see that variety and diversity in relationships and sexuality on TV, like it's never been done before. So I was like, nah, this may not be my cup of tea. However, I met with Matt Cox, who's the showrunner, brilliant guy. He assured me that he and the producers, Katie Fox, Tom O'Brien, James LaSalle, they all wanted to take polyamory seriously. And so what he said was, we're going to rely on you to help us with production. And so we're going to use your ideas and your knowledge and expertise. And what shocked me the most about that was throughout the entire process, they kept their word. They did not want to make a mockery out of polyamory, but I will say this, Couples of Thruple is a dating reality show. So it has all of the frills and all of the salaciousness that reality TV has, but it also has a serious undertone to it as well. And for me, they took it seriously as they said they were going to. There were certain things in the show where I worked closely with them to make sure that some of the things were equitable. Now, I know lots of poly communities, and we can talk about this later, but lots of poly communities still are not satisfied with some of the things in the show. However, even the negative commentary was good, and I was shocked about that. That was the most shocking thing for me is, one, they wanted to take it seriously. Two, they didn't just want a face, or they didn't just want somebody to be a sexuality expert because of the credentials and it would give them credibility. They absolutely wanted the credibility and someone who knew what they were talking about, but they also wanted to take polyamorous seriously. And they showed me that throughout. And so I am grateful that that was something that they held up.
I appreciate you sharing that. And like you, I have been approached to participate in a number of television series over the years. And some of them were polyamory-related dating shows, most of which never got made, but
they never got picked up because the ideas were terrible. They were very negatively exploitative, and you know, we just can't participate in something like that. We'll go against everything every profession I'm a part of stands against.
Yeah, and that was my thought too with a lot of the things I was approached for. I'm like, oh God, I hope this doesn't actually get made. And if it does, I don't know that I want to be part of it. Because yeah, some people don't really have the right intentions there where it is exploitative or it's just a purely sensationalized take and there's nothing else to it. So getting back to what you were saying about people's reactions, you know, the show, not surprisingly, has had a divided reaction in the popular media. You know, on the one hand, I've seen articles heralding it as a step forward for polyamory representation. But on the other hand, there are some critics who say, well, yes, it does that, but it only explores one specific type of polyamory. And that's where the couple is at the center of it. And throuples are something that people in the polyamory community have varied opinions about. And some people worry that, you know, maybe this doesn't, well, it doesn't capture the full diversity of polyamory and what it can look like. And I get that, you know, but you see similar reactions anytime there's representation of sexual minorities that you've never seen before in the media. You know, I can think about this historically looking at the lens of, you know, gay and lesbian portrayals on television or bisexual portrayals or kink and BDSM portrayals. You can never please everybody in terms of how things are depicted. So what's your response to critics of the show who say this is only, you know, a very narrow representation of polyamory?
I get it. So with this show is specifically about throuples, and people were like, when they saw a couple to throuple, the title, people from different polyamorous communities were like, yes, we're finally getting some representation. And then when they saw the trailer, they were like, absolutely not. We don't want this. This is not polyamory. And then when the series started to drop, they were like, I don't know. I need to see more. But no, this is not it. Why don't y'all have this? And this, and so, you know, I get it. I get that people are protective of their communities. I am as well. And everybody wants their community represented, and not only represented, but you want it represented well. And unfortunately, there's no way to do that in one series. You know, I've seen people say, well, why won't they represent kitchen table polyamory? Why won't they represent this type of polyamory, solo polyamory? And I'm like, the show is about throuples, people. Like, it's literally couple to throuple. And I get it. And I understand. And also, couple to throuple is a dating reality show. It's not a polyamory documentary, right? It's not a docuseries on polyamory. It is and has been a great conversation starter. I'll say that. But I also really, I'm okay with the responses that's been happening because, again, it's starting the conversations, it's letting people know that this, you know, we need to take polyamory seriously. But most importantly, we need to take throuples seriously because in various polyamorous communities, throuples are not recognized as being polyamorous because many throuples have closed dynamics. So that means that they're not open to dating other people. And they're like, well, that's not poly. And it's almost like poly communities are doing to throuples what LGBTQ plus communities had done to bisexuality for a long time. It's, we're going to erase that. We're not going to identify bisexual or bisexuality. And it's like, yes, we are. We're going to do that because what the research has been showing is that throuples are on the rise. There was some research that I saw that where surveys were conducted, I think in 2016 and then again at 2020. And it showed that with millennials, non-monogamy was increasing, right? And so I think it's important for us to make sure that we aren't alienating people. And if people who are coupled are saying, this is the way we want to explore non-monogamy by bringing a third partner into our relationship for a true relationship, not unicorn hunting, not just to have sex with them, then who are we not to provide support and acceptance for them? And that is why I like this show, because a lot of people now are wanting to explore polyamory, but they're like, you know what? I want to do this with my partner. Historically, that's not been a thing. You know, throuples are like, we're not doing that. If you want to do it, this is how you do it. And I'm going to do it like this. But couple to throuple explores non-monogamy under that polyamory umbrella, under thruppledom.
Yeah, you know, this has me thinking, like, there's a whole separate episode that could be done just on tensions within the community of people who are consensually non-monogamous. And this goes back years, decades, where different people have argued that their form of consensual non-monogamy or polyamory is better or superior or more ethical compared to other people's versions of this. You know, for example, you've seen tension between the polyamory community and the swinging community, where polyamory community will say, well, we're about love and relationships and intimacy, and you're just about sex, right? And then you see even within the poly community that some people are against hierarchical polyamory because they say it creates these inequitable power dynamics and differentials. And so, yeah, like I said, there's a whole separate episode just in terms of debates within these communities about...
Maybe three episodes.
Yeah.
Because it's that much, you know, it's actually that much of debate. And, you know, I think the bottom line is that there is no right way to be consensually or ethically non-monogamous. If you are being ethically non-monogamous, you're doing it the right way, hence ethical, consensual. We know that. Like, and I think we gatekeep. We like to gatekeep in that. You know, I don't mind people gatekeeping some things. I think there are some spaces that should be gatekept. But also, even if I do think that these people in different or varying types of settings, they also, like thruples, they also deserve support and acceptance. And if it's me, then it's going to be me to help them with that.
Well, and we're glad to have you here to help people on this journey. So for people who want to check out the show, where can they go to watch Couple to Thruple?
So if you want to check out Couple to Thruple, it is streaming on Peacock. Okay, so all of the episodes, there are 10 episodes, right? And the 10th episode is the finale, which left a lot of people gagged, as they say on Twitter. There's been a lot of talk about the show. It originally dropped in batches of three in true thruple fashion. So we did three at a time, and then the 10th episode dropped on its own. But what I realized is that people who like reality shows, they like to watch them all at once. So they waited until they were all uploaded, which was February 29th, and everybody went and watched them all at once. And so now we're getting all of the comments that we got before when it first, we're getting all of those again. So it's just really interesting to see the commentary and the dialogue. And what I really liked about the dialogue is what people were getting from this. Like, people were like, oh, I learned something. I didn't realize this, because it talked about couple privilege. We talked about people understanding jealousy is not a negative thing. We talked about emotional intimacy. And so people were like, wow, I need to do some of these relationship challenges in my own relationship. And they were monogamous. So it doesn't matter what type of relationship structure or what type of relationship dynamic you're in. Couples to Thruple is a show about relationships, period. Like, just basically what happens in relationships, the characteristics and qualities that make up happy relationships.
Well, thanks for sharing that. And I'm sure a lot of my listeners are going to go check out the show. And before having you on, I had a few people on my team go watch some episodes. I said, you know, actually, just go watch an episode of Couple to Thruple and just kind of let me know what you think. And they got back to me and they're like, I couldn't watch just one. Like, I had to watch the whole thing. So
good. I'm glad.
So thank you so much for this amazing conversation, Shamira. It was a pleasure to have you here. Can you please tell my listeners where they can go to learn more about you and your work?
Thank you so much for having me. I always love speaking with you. And if you want to see what I do, go on thegreencouch.com. I'm also on social media, specifically, I think, Instagram, mostly at Sexologist Shamira, and I talk back.
And I will be sure to include links to all of that in the show notes. So thank you again so much for your time. I really appreciate having you here.
Thanks, Justin.
Thank you for listening. To keep up with new episodes of this podcast, visit my website, Sex and Psychology, at sexandpsychology.com, or subscribe on your favorite platform, where I hope you'll take a moment to rate and review the show. You can also follow me on the socials for daily sex research updates. I'm on Twitter and TikTok at Justin Lee Miller and Instagram at Justin J. Lee Miller. Also, be sure to check out my book, Tell Me What You Want. And if you have a question you'd like me to answer on a future episode of this show, you can leave me a podcast voicemail at speakpipe.com/sexandpsychology. Thanks again for listening. Until next time.